morning. Today is Wednesday, October the 25th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor. I guess this is your formal last show, huh? For a little bit.
It appears that way. Yeah, I'm, okay. You know, and I'm really going to miss you.
Yeah, right. Then stop.
I'm going to actually be standing outside the door doing, you know, little.
Yeah. Or, yeah. Virginia Bass, by the way. Our quote this morning is actually, it's a proverb. That's an Arabian proverb. This is way cool. All mankind is divided into three classes. Those that are immovable, those that are movable, and those that move.
Well, are you the immovable?
I don't know. Sometimes, some ways, yes. Depends on how aggressive the dog is.
I've seen you move when you jump. So.
Yeah, okay, that would be the immovable part when I tried to jump. One of the things that I think is interesting, particularly for governmental types, and not to say that you are, but you are, is
you seeing, say that so yeah, enthusiastically.
Yeah, seeing opportunity when it's there and when it's not there, and being willing to or able to seize the moment. It may feel a little uncomfortable to some folks, but with all of the activity that has been going on in Sonoma County, Napa County, talked to a couple department heads in the county and a couple of folks in the real world, and everybody is really concerned about the cost of raw goods going up. Fred Van Fleck was in last week and said that they're projecting now the cost of raw materials going up 20%, and that's just this month. They don't know what it's really going to be, but plus 20%. Couple of other folks were saying, gee, you know, all the labor is all going to go to rebuild the 6,000 structures in Sonoma and Napa counties. Okay, what is that going to mean for us? You know, do we stop functioning? Do we not have what we have? I mean, just even the small little bit that we have now, well, if it goes up 20% or up 25%, there's no way, unless something cataclysmic happens here, that we're going to be able to see any action. Now, the mills may be running extra shifts, and hooray, hooray, as long as we can get woods out or timber out of the woods. In looking at the remainder of the next budget cycle and into the next year, what is the county looking at? Have you guys...
You mean in regards to some of the more recent...
the fires.
Disasters,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, the fires and stuff. If you can't get anybody to do the ADA stuff...
Right.
Well, that's not going to really play well in Washington as a viable reason why it didn't get done on time.
Well, I know, but I think we already have, you know, contracting for that. We, you know, so some things are already, under control. But I think, you know, you bring up a lot of good points, and I always hate to say that to you. But,
I don't,
you know,
I picked up on the hesitation. That's okay.
But, you know, you look at the mass destruction, and, you know, our first thing is, what can we do to help? Just like we would hope people would do for us.
Sure.
But,
sure.
But you know, in the aftermath, I hadn't, you know, really put a lot of time thinking about what happens to workforce from here that may have to shift to go work, you know, down in that area. By the same token, you know, you've got businesses that can no longer function down there. That do they, you know, while they're rebuilding, maybe we are a place where they can relocate for a period of time. It's kind of like, so what is the shift that happens? Because there's a lot of, not just homes, but there's businesses. Boy, Trader Joe's, oh my gosh,
Yeah.
Well, we can say, hey, come here.
No. Jennifer Budwig was saying that all the available housing stock was gone within 2 days.
And, you know,
boom.
Right.
Okay, so now you got all this pent-up demand, people looking for shelter. We don't have an awful lot because we haven't had much building going on around here, but we do have some that's available, and certainly I would think if there's demand, some of these rentals would become available for purchase if people had the jobs that were coming here. And it just kind of seemed to be the businesses, you know, they may want to stay, and it may give them an opportunity to kind of look around and go, well, where else would we like to go? Is Humboldt County doing anything to have our oar in the water, so to speak?
Well, I think while people have still been assessing the damage and what's going on, like I said, most has been engaged at helping them with recovery. Well, first response, then recovery. And, you know, so while, yes, it's an opportunity, one also does not want to be seen as opportunistic, as, you know, profiting off of something bad. But
we don't
can
profit from them.
Well, but
we allow them to make profits. Right.
Well, potentially they could come up here. You know, companies may use this as a time to redefine, you know, where they want to be located. People who lost their housing may decide further up north is a great place for them to be. And I think, you know, it's worth strategizing and trying to map out what that looks like. And you mentioned their housing stock. I have to say, this comes at a very strange time. They had Sonoma had just received a state award from the State Association of Counties for their program, where they basically had a 100% density bonus, which allowed developers or anyone who's building to, for each affordable unit they built, they were able to also build a market rate unit. So it was like a bonus. It was something where they've been able to really increase the production of homes, and they had a like 2,000 they planned to do by a certain time. They'd had like 700 or 800,
so they're building
900.
And growing. Yeah.
Well, they were, and so, you know, this is less than a month ago, and seeing the number of houses that they had worked and taken years to actually get in that inventory, gone in a flash. So yeah, what do we do?
We got to get,
you know, there's still a lot of grow houses. Quite frankly, I think Humboldt County needs to get on the bandwagon with that, the PG&E energy tax, because houses are for people, not plants. And I keep thinking that we're forgetting that that's another avenue. May not make us any money, but it could certainly help with the housing stock.
Well, it doesn't, I mean, the county doesn't want to make money.
Right.
The county wants to have a viable community.
Well, and we also want housing. We keep complaining about
housing.
Well,
that's part of the viability.
Yeah. So anyway, you got me off on a, you know, it's my tangent, but it's like one way to get, you know, one way to be a place for a welcoming community where people can come if they do want to leave the fire-stricken areas.
In addition to some of the other challenges we have that we'll talk about when we come back. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Virginia Bass. Virginia, you mentioned in the last segment the concept with the PG&E and the energy excise or excess energy use or, you know, I don't know.
Energy tax?
That thing.
I don't like, yeah, what do you
want? What I think it is, it's PG&E protecting their customers that are the high volume because they make too much money off of them. I think they ought to be giving you the numbers and the people. And be
yeah, without us having to pay and go through. Yeah.
Just flat-out code enforcement. We're talking about community safety also. Okay, so I set that part aside.
All right.
Why hasn't the county done it? Arcata has had tremendous response and success with it. Why isn't everybody falling in line and saying us too, even though they would make you have to do the investment on the front side like they made Arcata have to?
Well, and I think priorities have been perhaps elsewhere looking, you know, when we've looked at it in the past, some are looking for, well, gosh, that's going to cost us a lot. You know, it's not really, you know, it's not benefiting the bottom line. Well, that's not the point. The point is to stop people from growing beyond what is allowed for personal in the homes and get, you know, there's homes. I mean, you and I have talked often about homes nearby
Yeah, between your guys' place and our place, there's half a dozen of them.
Even when I drive down here, there's been houses.
Curtains don't stay always closed.
No, and you don't.
That's not normal.
I love it when you have the electrical cords running from a generator outside going inside, and there is no furniture, and there's no nothing. So,
there's a car in the back always.
Yeah, or a trailer. Yeah. But, and it's interesting, and the folks who are in the industry and actually doing it, paying the taxes, going through the license process and the permits, it frustrates them too, and so we have great, I think it's just time to say, okay, it's not like it's going to be a moneymaker, but we need to increase housing stock. These houses are going to need work. A lot of them are going to be damaged. We need to find dollars to help people rehabilitate homes like this.
Yeah, but if somebody who's doing it to themselves or somebody who's a landlord that isn't checking in, shame on them. You don't have to bail those guys out. I'm just thinking.
No, I'm not talking about bailing. No, I'm not even talking about bailing them out. I think one of the things we were trying to look at funding sources. There was a group we were meeting some time ago about how can we tax those folks or get fees, penalties, whatever you want to call it, and not necessarily the growers. You're right, the people that are the landlords, often absentee. There are a lot of times there's actually probably profit-sharing things going on. There's a reason that people choose to allow it, and some people don't know what's happening, but landlords, you'd think should. But,
30-day notice, you've got somebody growing in your house.
Right.
Okay, now you know.
Well, and even if it's, it may not be the person who owns it that you are trying to bail out it. Maybe there's a process where, we don't know what it looks like yet, but there's got to be some way to get people to be, start realizing it's not right to choose letting a whole house become a green, I don't want to call it a greenhouse, when you can have people living there. And it's just frustrating. And
Does this get back to the general plan?
Doesn't everything somehow get related to the general plan?
I think, if it's out of compliance, now you got code enforcement, you got public safety, you've got more tools to be able to start to address some of these things. And it may be a general plan of a city rather than the general plan of the county, but there's more grist there to be able to address these situations, because it seems like either it's conflict avoidance or it's a low priority. And they both manifest themselves in the same way, so it probably doesn't matter one or the other. But we're just kind of seeing things slide. It's kind of like having laws on the books that are just ignored. It says stop sign. Well, that really doesn't mean stop. That's more of a slow down and look one way, then go out there. And then if you have to deal with it, you've got a little bit of time. Just the degrading of everything, I guess.
Well, you're really cheerful today.
Well, yeah, it's
complicated, obviously, and interconnected, and how do you do it? I don't think, that this item in specific, I'm not sure how I'd connect it necessarily to be a big part of the general plan. To me, it's just more like a nuisance. I want houses available, and actually, maybe if that's where it fits, is it's part of the housing element, is getting the houses back into the element. Because obviously, we don't have enough. I talk to people all the time, and it's not unusual to Humboldt County, and even in the county, Santa Rosa, with their horrible loss of housing, they still didn't have enough housing. You'd hear about the same issues that we have here, and they had a heck of a good plan going.
But things were going, and they were addressing it. And that's, I think, the difference between having a stagnant economy and a growing economy.
Did you mean growing?
No, I meant growing as in
sorry,
healthy
I couldn't
growth.
Help it. Okay.
Yes, not we're on the stagnant side here, where there's stuff going on, and you can see. Well, okay, maybe not today, but tomorrow is going to be a little bit better, and a little bit better the next day. How many building permits were taken out in Humboldt County last year? It was more than 15 or 20 for single residents or high density that wasn't somehow getting subsidized, just regular normal.
Well, I don't think there's been that much. That's when you say subsidized, I mean, you had Danco's project.
High density, senior low income. Mm-hmm. I mean, all these things that have these chits that most of us don't understand, but they're part of that decision-making process for the developer instead of single-family residence. Boom. There it is. Here, and you design it, and you get that.
Well, and I think different developers have their different specialties that they like to do. So, back to, you know, I could see you someday being a developer. You should be out there doing this.
No,
homes
no,
for tall
no.
people.
I got, yeah, they're called Victorians. KINS, news and information time. Gotcha. It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, news and information time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Virginia Bass. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redeck. Virginia, the concept of, it's not affordable housing, it's just housing. It's not about business development, it's about development. It's about not the right businesses, but getting a base of employment into our area. Now, we may see a little bit of a jump if we can get the salvage harvesting and the mills kind of run a couple extra shifts because of the demand down south. Dandy, I know South Coast is talking about it in Brookings. Great. But, you know, when we talk about mills adding shifts, in the old days it was mills. Now it's mill. Schmidbauer, mill, Humboldt.
You know, somebody brought up a great point the other day that I hadn't really spent a lot of time thinking of is there's still a great, you know, output of timber products from here, this area.
From our area, yeah.
But because of the, I guess you say, the new machinery, mechanization, it creates less jobs.
Automation is the term.
Well, automation, yeah. and
you're
it's,
right.
But you hear that for a lot of things, and that kind of gets spooky. I mean, I was having someone, they were talking about a totally different situation, but how that, they wanted to bring in this step that would make it easier to check out without having to have, you know, employees. And this wasn't a grocery store. It was a different type of situation. Uh-huh. And people got really, you know, worried about that and didn't want to see it move forward, which I understand because no one wants to lose jobs. So it's one of those things where communities, I'm sure it's not just us, are having to go, wow.
Well, the fact that, okay, with minimum wage kicking to $15 in a couple years, you've got a lot of the fast food joints that they're going to be automating.
Yeah,
you can't afford. You know, whether it's Governor Jerry or whoever decided to make it happen, it doesn't matter that outcome. I mean, there will be changes, and certainly the timber industry has gone through mechanization and automation,
right.
And you're not going to have 300 guys working a shift anymore. Because you don't have to.
And, you know, we talk about some of our newer industry that's being brought in from the shadows or recesses.
You're not
that
talking
are actually,
about the lavender industry again, are you?
There.
I'm going to start
lavender.
Using that as my
but,
reference.
But, you know, even there, I mean, we've heard, you know, I suspect there are going to be a lot of changes there as well. And a lot of the folks that you see on the side of the road aren't going to be coming here because the jobs aren't going to be for those folks.
That's the hope, isn't it?
Yes. And you know, you
do
get
it
the
all
people
with hydroponics and have it all laid out and automatic snipping and
it's
over.
Or you have quality employees, not just the folks who are traveling up and down the road thinking they can get a job wherever they go. I mean, that is one benefit that I think is pretty a big one for people to realize that I do believe you will start seeing less of that along the roadsides. you know, the bigger problem in that case is there's a lot of illegitimate grows that are, you know, they will still be inviting people, I'm sure.
And flushing these folks out of here. You know, okay, great, you're here. I mean, you remember the Grateful Dead when Garcia died, right? How many years were they at Clam Beach? Same thing here. Okay, they're here, now it's gone. You know, we kind of like the area. We'll just kind of hang out here. No, we don't want you to hang out around here.
Well, and there's plenty of places they can
go hang out.
Yeah, because the folks that are really coming into the fold, they want quality employees, and they want to treat their employees right, and a lot of those folks don't fit that category.
Oh, understood.
Yeah, so.
But if you're just kind of sitting, holding, you know, you're lying there
hoping,
making sure that the sidewalk has something to do, it'll hold you up. Okay, how do we get them to move on to another community instead of deciding that Humboldt County is where they're going to stay because they like it?
You know, I think a lot of communities ask that very same question, and there's a lot of interesting answers out there. A lot of them just result in people being shuffled from one place to the next, which means people getting shuffled here from elsewhere, which already happens. You know, I mean, there's a cyclical, if you can find that answer.
Well, let me ask you this. Do services attract or do services serve?
I
don't know.
You know, I
really don't know.
A lot of conversation about this at different events. Most people don't come for, I think Rex says, the, you know, ham sandwich. You know, most people, that is not something that brings them here. The county services, Humboldt County provides the same, you know, county services. There's certain things you have to provide for that due to the California Welfare Code 17,000 or 170,000, one of those codes, right? But I think a lot of it depends on, you know, there's a lot of other organizations in not just our community, but others that do provide service. And, you know, I think the majority of people they're serving are from here. But, you know, I'm hearing people say that they believe it attracts more.
I've heard people say local means you've been here for 6 months. And I recoil on that one.
Well, you know, I get the general relief numbers from every month. And it's amazing to see where people have come from. And it's amazing to see the number that get turned down. And I don't think people realize that. And it's actually at a fairly low pace right now. But
let me amend my question. Do services serve? Do they attract? Or do they keep? They may not be the reason people come here, but are they the reason people stay here? Something to ponder during the break. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:41.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Virginia Bass. Virginia, one stat, and I wish I could remember if it was homeless or if it was, I think it's homeless, that there are 55 different organizations, nonprofits, in the area working with homeless. I think 55 different executive directors. 55 different, you know, 55 was the number. It may not have been homeless. It could have been, what else would it have been? Drug.
Well, then,
we've got an infrastructure. We've got a business sector around this stuff, which is, I don't think was anybody's initial intent. But now as we look at some of the different programs that are coming on board, like the substance abuse stuff, or I know it's, not encouraging substance abuse, it's getting them off.
Right, the Waterfront Recovery Center.
Yeah, I still think of Family Recovery Services, sorry.
But that
concept, is there a way we can shift over to that, providing the services for those that want to get unhooked or whatever it's called, reboot, okay, get that part taken care of, and then for those that don't want it, treat them different. than what they are now, where it's kind of a kumbaya. It's like, okay, these things are here. If you don't want it, if you don't want to avail yourself of it, that's your choice. But don't expect X, Y, Z.
You know, that's
tough love. That's the word.
Well, and it's again, I go back to a lot of the legislation that comes to us from the feds and the state. And even the people, say like the county, you know, most of the folks that the county can help do to our services are for folks that are, you know, mentally ill, homeless. I mean, certain categories, disabled, families with children, you know, so there are some of those that by our legal standards, it's our obligation.
Well, and for those who want help, I think nobody holds back wanting to help. It's the others' segments.
And I totally agree, and that's what makes it really hard, because you have people who are going and working within the system to get better or to make their lives better. And the ones that don't, though, it's kind of it's an interesting dilemma, because a lot of people who are here come from elsewhere. We know that. A lot of people who you may see that don't appear to want help, they receive, you know, once someone's on Social Security disability, that's dollars that go directly to them. It is not a county thing we do, and we can't make anybody do anything. So the frustrating thing is that money sometimes, and not always, many people are very, you know, many people do exactly, you know, a lot of people, how do I put this, are respectful, and they use those dollars and they pay for their housing, they pay for their groceries, and they pay for what they need to do.
For societal norms.
Yeah, but there are people who don't want help from the county. They don't, you know, need help from the county. They're perfectly happy maybe, you know, camping somewhere, receiving their dollars, spending it however they do. And that's the frustrating thing, is we have people who, you know, we can't tell people how to spend their money when it's not our
now,
something
somebody,
for us to.
What about that credit card?
The EBT card.
Whatever it was. That has the specific limitations associated with it.
Right.
And you have one for this, and maybe you have one for housing. And those are the only, I mean, there's no black market for the, well, I guess I could
there,
be for the
you'd,
cards.
You'd,
but
you'd be amazed.
Yeah, I know, creativity reigns supreme, but it's channeled. It's kind of like guys deal with categorical funding. Same thing for these folks.
Right.
Categorical funding.
But that is not, as my understanding is, once you're on the Social Security disability, it pretty much comes to the form of it's not in cards. It goes to bank accounts. I mean, it is someone's prerogative to do whatever they want with that. The cards, however, I mean, they, I think, do help provide the services without the dollar cost, and without them being used for nefarious purposes, as
ooh,
you
nefarious.
Say.
You're
for
a Minion
most
fan,
part.
Too. All right. Well, despicable her, despicable me. We'll see you tomorrow.